The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 28. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can join me on page 835, or you can follow along on the screen. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word.
All right. Well, good morning. My name is Carson. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to see so many new faces with us. We're honored to have you. You've probably gathered at this point that this is a unique Sunday for us. We have deemed this Sunday Student Sunday because we are sharing our vision as a church for next generation ministry and celebrating God's grace in the life of both middle and high school students. Personally, I stand before you as a Christian, as a pastor in a local church, because there were loving, caring adults who shared Jesus and their lives with me when I was a teenager in my most formative years. My wife, Casey, has a similar story. She came to faith as a teenager through a ministry called Young Life. If I'm not mistaken, at least two of our other pastors came to faith in Jesus in their teenage years because loving and caring adults invested in their life, and I think the same is true for their wives. So it should be no surprise then, as a local church, that next generation ministry, ministry to middle and high school students, is a very high priority for us. And this morning, we've planned music with students in mind. In fact, you may have noticed one of our high school students, Evan Wines, making his debut in the band this morning. There you go. Justin, the one in this cage here, is a great drummer, but in my opinion, I think Evan really stole the show. He was shaking those shakers and tambourines and doing all the things, and so it's exciting to see that. We're baptizing four students this morning. We've already done one in the first service. We've got three more to come in this service before it's all done. So that's you can whoop now if you want. We are going to be preaching from Matthew 28 this morning. This is a famous statement of Jesus, often called the Great Commission, where he gives us his marching orders for the church. This is why the church exists, according to Jesus. But we're going to be weaving through our teaching various testimonies from adults who are serving, giving their time and energy to invest in the next generation. You're going to hear testimonies from students, some of whom are getting baptized this morning, and they want to share their faith story. You're going to hear a few testimonies of those who recently came back from camp in Glorieta, New Mexico. So it's going to be a bit different for those of you who are here Sunday in, Sunday out. The teaching is going to feel a little different than usual. But before we move into our teaching, I want to provide just a basic orientation to our passage. As I said, we're teaching from the Great Commission, Jesus' marching orders from the church. And we often think of kind of the main command in that passage is go. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. And we often think like go is the main command, but it's actually make disciples. This is Jesus' marching orders, is to make disciples of all the nations. So a disciple, by definition, is a learner. And so a disciple of Jesus then is someone who is learning how to follow Jesus. It's someone who is learning how to be changed by Jesus. It's someone who's learning to live their life for Jesus' mission. And notice the scope in this passage. Jesus says we're to make disciples of all the nations, which is less about geographical boundaries and borders and more about people groups, ethnic groups. We're to make disciples of all the nations, of all people groups, of all ethnic groups. And in the city of Independence, arguably one of the biggest unreached people groups in our city is middle and high school students. And so the question that we're considering on Student Sunday is how do we make disciples among the next generation? How do we reach and grow middle and high school students in our midst? And so to help us answer that question, in this passage, Jesus gives us three participles. And if you're not good at grammar like me, those are those ing words, okay? He gives us three participles in this passage, three specific activities that will help us as a church pursue the next generation with the redemptive grace of Jesus. But before we discover those activities from Jesus, I want to pause and just pray, ask for the Lord's help, and for us to hear his voice. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've revealed yourself to us by sending your one and only son, Jesus, to give of his life on the cross. We thank you that he's alive, that he's ruling and reigning over all things. We're grateful for the gift of your spirit who empowers us to live for Jesus' mission. And so as we consider the Great Commission, we ask that you would soften our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes, so that we may receive the word that you want to speak to us very personally, not only as a congregation, but also as individuals, and help us to respond rightly to you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we're going to see kind of three activities showing us how we're to make disciples. And the first one comes at the beginning of verse 19. We're to make disciples of the next generation by going to students. We make disciples of the next generation by going to students. Verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So according to verse 19, making disciples of the next generation means we go to students where they live, where they learn, work, and play. We're to relationally pursue students. And sometimes that looks like walking across the sanctuary to spend some time, engage in a conversation. Sometimes that looks like going to their sporting event. Sometimes that means inviting them into your home and sit them at your table and have a meal together. Sometimes it looks like spending a week with 27 of them in Glorieta, New Mexico, in a very physically demanding camp. I'm waiting for the four adults who went to say amen at this point. Jesus says we're to relationally pursue students, reaching those who have yet to trust Christ with the gospel and growing those who have with the gospel. And there are a growing number of people in this congregation who are doing that very thing. They are pursuing the next generation, and I would like them to go ahead and come up at this point. You know who you are. You can make your way up. And as they do, I want to introduce them just a bit. Every person that you see coming forward right now is serving students in this church or in this community, either through Life Connection Students, which is our ministry to middle and high school students, or they're doing so through a nonprofit in this city called Young Life Independence. And we're one of the churches in this community that partners with them. And so we've invited every single one of these men and women to come before you this morning and in one sentence explain to you why they have said yes to making disciples of middle and high school students. And so I'm going to let Mandy get this started for you.
I decided to be a part of it because they're worth the time. Life is busy, but they're absolutely worth the time.
I want them to know the lasting joy that is found in knowing Jesus and following him as he leads in their lives.
I want to see students experience the joy and freedom in knowing Christ.
I wanted to help them experience the freedom and hope that comes when we live our lives according to the gospel.
I love high school students, and I wanted to see their lives transformed and changed by the gospel.
I want them to learn to love the Lord and his word with their whole heart, soul, and mind.
I want to help them get to know Jesus and then grow to know him more and grow to know others.
Yeah, feel called to help them find their identity in Christ. And I've got a student from when I was a 19-year-old youth pastor, now I'm 44, who's in attendance today. And so that's the kind of thing why we do this.
I want to pay it forward because someone was there for me.
To help students learn how to follow Jesus and to celebrate days like today with them.
So that God would be glorified in their lives.
To help them grow a strong and authentic relationship with Jesus during this formative time in their lives.
I know that high school can be a really difficult time for students, and so I just want to be there for them as best as I can, while ultimately pointing them towards the gospel.
Yeah, we really appreciate all of you sharing. And Romans 12, verse 10, says that as a church, we're to outdo one another in showing honor. So if you're grateful for these men and women, if you're a parent of a middle or high school student and you're grateful for them, would you help me show them honor and encourage them in this moment before they take their seats? Thanks, guys. You better sit down. You better sit down, guys. We make disciples of the next generation by going to students, and we're so thankful for these men and women who have said yes to doing that very thing. But second, in the Great Commission, what we see from Jesus is that we're also to make disciples of the next generation by baptizing students. Okay, so verse 19 continues. Jesus says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When anyone hears the gospel, and by the gospel, we're talking about the good news of Jesus, of his life of perfect obedience to God the Father, his death on the cross in our place and for the forgiveness of sins, his burial, his resurrection from the dead. We're talking about his ascension to the right hand of the Father, where he is enthroned as the king over everyone and everything. We're thinking about that day in the future when King Jesus returns to make the world new again, to save his people and judge the world in righteousness. When anyone hears the good news of Jesus and responds rightly to it by repenting of sin and putting their faith in Jesus and following him in the power of the Holy Spirit, their first step of obedience, according to Jesus, is to be baptized in the name of the triune God, the one and only God who has eternally existed as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the next step when someone comes to faith in Jesus. And I'm going to say more about the meaning of baptism later in our service. But at this point, I want to invite Mason and Michael to go ahead and make their way up here. And as they do, they've recently put their faith in Jesus, and we have invited them to come up here this morning and share a little bit of their story with you. And that's a pretty big step, so I would invite you to encourage them a little bit, make things a little easier. Okay, so the first question that I'm going to ask, I didn't have you prepare for, okay, but I think you can handle it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you right now? 1 being totally relaxed, 10 being you're about to hurl on this platform. What would you say, 1 to 10?
4. Solid 4.
4, okay.
Probably a 6.
A 6, okay. So those of you sitting in the first two rows, this would be a great time to make your way back toward the middle, just in case that does in fact happen. I kid. Y'all have recently made a decision to put your faith in Jesus. We're going to celebrate later in this service their baptism. So I want you to invite you to share a little bit about what your life was like before you put your faith in Jesus, and what the Lord did in your life that kind of led you to this decision. Describe your life before Jesus a little bit for us.
I always felt like something was missing in my life. Always felt like alone. And then recently my grandma was in the hospital. And I just remember hearing stories about how there was a time that she wasn't doing so well, and my family prayed, and she immediately started doing well. And I remember after that, like, that was a trigger for me, that I knew I wanted to follow Christ. But at that point, I felt like the only thing holding me back was my lack of knowledge in the Bible. And my mom and Brent made it clear that as a Christian, you'll keep learning, and you're never going to know everything. And that's when I made the decision to follow Christ.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Before I started following Christ, I was dealing with the loss of my grandpa, and I didn't understand fully what happened and how to cope. So I turned to Christ and to help me understand that.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to let you hold on to that. I think it's better in your hands. That's all good. I know you started to share a little bit of this, Mason, but is there any more that you'd be willing to share about how you came to faith in Jesus? And that's for both of you as well, this question. You know, what did those conversations sound like? Who were they with? Do you remember a particular moment when you kind of consciously made this decision, you know, I need Jesus, I'm going to put my faith in him? I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're at camp, and we were having a discussion with the middle school guys, and I remember feeling and, like, knowing what they went through, and that what I went through, and how much I needed a life with Christ through that.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
My friend Evan invited me to the youth group about a year back, and I've been trying to follow Christ since then, but ever since camp, something just clicked. It's like I felt something. You know, it was one of those nights where you just could see the stars, and I just felt something, and I decided then and there that I need to devote my life to following Christ.
That's awesome, guys. You probably heard in both of their stories, like, this most recent camp experience being pretty significant for them, which is so encouraging to hear. Is there anything else about camp that was really meaningful and significant, or just really fun, that you would like to share before we pray for you and let you kind of take your seat again?
I mean, just the whole thing, being away from the distractions of life, and not having to, you know, stress about the little things. I felt like I could grow closer to God in Christ, and I gained a lot of friends too, because, you know, going there, the only friend I can really say that I had in the youth group was Evan. You know, that's only because I've known him since first grade. Now I can confidently say that almost that every single one of them are my friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah, kind of like Michael said, it was a good experience to be away from our phones and all the distractions of, like, an everyday life here. And it was a good time to grow with the relationships with our group leaders and the other middle school guys and even the high schoolers. So that was a big part for me.
Awesome. I heard him say it was great not to have my phones. I expected parents to shout, say amen. I'm just a little surprised at you guys this morning. Hey, thank you so much for sharing. Let me pray for you real quick, and then you guys can find your seat again, okay? Father, we're grateful for your work in the lives of these young men, and we're grateful for your grace and how you pursue us, you pursue students, and you lovingly draw them to faith in your Son. We thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat, boys. Yeah. So we make disciples of the next generation by going to students. We make disciples by baptizing students according to Jesus when they receive the gospel. But finally, what we're going to see is that we make disciples of the next generation by teaching students. We see that at the beginning of verse 20 here. So Jesus continues. He says, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So notice here in verse 20, Jesus doesn't merely tell us as his church to teach others what Jesus has commanded. He tells us to teach others to observe or obey what Jesus has commanded. And so baptism is extremely important. And yet it's often said, and rightly so, that baptism is the starting line of the Christian life. It is not the finish line. It is the baby steps, as important as they are, of a lifetime of learning to trust Jesus and obey his word, his life-giving commands. Because we need to remember this, that Jesus is the crucified and resurrected King over everyone and everything. He's not only Savior, he is also Lord. And the appropriate response to a good, loving, and benevolent King is to trust him and obey his word. That is how we experience the life-giving, liberating rule of Jesus. It's by living under his authority, trusting his word, and putting it into practice. And so at this point, we have three more students who want to share their story of how they are learning to do that very thing, to trust Jesus at his word, to grow in their obedience, to take greater ownership in the ministry of this local church. And so the first person, we're going to hear their story via video. This is Evan's story, so give it a listen.
Hi, my name is Evan Wines. I'm 15 years old. I'm going to be a sophomore at Truman High School next year. I recently went with 26 other students to Gloria to Camp in New Mexico, and I had an awesome time. I mean, totally, a total blast. And I'd like, if it's okay with you, to share my experience in just a few minutes. One thing that was really cool about being at Glorieta was seeing God's handprint everywhere all around me. We were on a beautiful 2,400-acre campus, so lots of places to go and places to be. So with all those places to go, I was surrounded by God's creation all week. I also think I grew in a lot of relationships with Christ and friends. Before camp, I occasionally talked to the high school guys, but during camp, we talked a lot more. I bonded with all of them a lot more. We talked about sports, girls, and in some discussions, we'd get deep and we'd talk about scars from previous events and our situations with following God and whatever. So that was really good. I also got to know one of the leaders, Brent, a lot better. And if I could describe Brent in one sentence, it'd probably be he acts like a 12-year-old in a 22-year-old body. That's not bad. But pretty awesome. Since I've been back from camp, I felt better about a lot of things. I've been more secure and happy about various situations in my life. Camp also made me want to volunteer, serve more, and help younger students. Going to camp was really important to me, so I hope that parents will encourage kids and kids will go to camps in the future because it is a great time and you should never miss one if you can. Moving forward in Life Connection students, I want to be a good example. I want to serve God with others, include other students in Christ-centered discussions, and make new students feel more welcome who want to get involved in our ministry. I want to keep our ministry camp high going all year long. So thank you for listening and caring about the next generation.
Because we didn't get to it in the first service, Evan mentioned some of the conversations they've had about girls. And so we thought we'd start there. And just kidding. Thanks, guys, for being here and sharing about your camp experience. What was the best part of your Glorieta camp experience and why?
I would have to say the activities and building relationships with leaders and students around me. One of the main activities that I thought was really enjoyable was rappelling. We climbed up a rock cliff edge and then walked across a bridge and rappelled what they said to be was 30 feet down.
Thank you for filling out your waivers.
Was not 30 feet down. It was probably one of the scariest things I've done.
To build off that, I really liked all the activities they had there. Like you said, there was rappelling, there was rock climbing, but one of my favorite things was this lake they had. It was like a lake, and there was water slides and everything, and I don't know if you guys have seen it on Facebook or anything, but the giant pillows in the lake where, like, someone will sit on the end and someone will launch you. Well, yeah, I got launched by Scott Kirby, so that was pretty fun. I flew, but it was super fun, but that really made me closer to God in that moment.
That was perfect. Like, you didn't even script that, did you? Like, literally closer to God. What impacted you the most about your camp experience and why? So you did lots of fun games and activities, but when it came to some of the teaching and some of the conversations that you had as a group, what were some of the things that impacted you the most and why?
So the leaders that were ready there, ready at Glorieta for us, were Jared and Delia, and these guys were amazing. And one of the things that they tied along was after we did the rappelling, they tied into it how you have to have faith in the rope, like you have to have faith in God when going throughout a Christian life. And that hit me pretty hard. That was really awesome to hear. And I had never thought about it in that way.
Yeah, one of my biggest things that I got from it was, the high school guys especially, were a pretty close-knit group. But at camp, Jared and Delia especially were really good at getting us to open up. And I thought I knew all the high school guys really well, but in some of our conversations where we truly opened up, you really realized how little you knew about each other. And just having that those conversations that we don't normally have was really impactful, and just getting to help each other through the struggles that we go through in our day-to-day lives.
So both of you have made decisions in the past to follow Jesus. We recently baptized Tucker. A couple years ago, we got to celebrate Jackson's baptism. And yet we just said, baptism is the starting line, not the finish line of the Christian faith. So did you make any significant decisions, faith decisions at camp with respect to your ongoing growth and your discipleship to Jesus?
Yeah, so kind of like Tucker said, going to camp, I knew everybody in the high school that was in the youth program. And we are both juniors, and we are the oldest of the program. So one thing that camp left me to do here back in Missouri is to pursue the younger generation. So middle schoolers that I don't know very well, help them in their road to Christ.
Yeah, just kind of building off that, camp really drew us closer to those middle schoolers. I know me especially, I never really talked to many of them. But just being there, without our phones, like you said, for a week, you really had those conversations with those younger people, and actually grew connections with a lot of them. And one of my big things is that I'm hoping that having those conversations and being open, especially in group discussions, will make them feel as if they're able to come to me without judgment and just have those conversations with them.
Awesome. Well, before we pray for you guys and let you go back to your seat, just one last question. Other than what you just said about wanting to invest in those younger than you, can you think of any other ways, now that you're back home, that you want to take greater ownership in the ministry here of Life Connection students?
Yeah, so when we had, there was one night where we split up into high school guys, middle school guys, and the same thing with the girls, and we had Jared to talk to us, and he had us all open up, and some of the things that these guys said I have never heard before, and it was so changing to hear somebody actually open up, because I know Tucker said previously that it's hard for him to open up, and just being guys, it's weird to open up to other guys. So when we did that at camp, it really helped me and want to help these other guys in what they're going through and struggles.
Man, he kind of took what I was going to say. But yeah.
This is where you just say, bow your heads and pray with me.
Yeah. But yeah, kind of like he said, I just hope to continue on what was happening at camp. And like Evan said at the end of his video, the camp high that they always talk about. I just pray that we allow that to extend through this year and the rest of our lives, to just let everything that was going on at camp, all those good things, how close you felt to God and everything, just to continue on and not fade away in a couple months,
Yeah. Well, let's pray for Tucker and Jackson before they take their seat, all right? Father, we thank you so much for these young men and their desire to grow in their faith. It's exciting to hear them thinking not only about their own personal growth, but of how they can invest in those who are younger than them, how they can pass on the gospel of your grace to others that they might grow up and develop. So we pray that you would continue to preserve that passion in them and bring it to fruition, and that you would help us as a local church to come alongside them, surround them with all of the encouragement that they need. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Give them a hand. So we've seen from our passage that we make disciples of the next generation by going to students. We make disciples of the next generation by baptizing students once they receive the gospel. And then we make disciples of the next generation by teaching students to trust and obey King Jesus. And so in a few minutes, we're going to round things out by celebrating the Lord's Supper. But before we do, I just want to encourage you to consider what the Lord might be doing in your heart right now. As you've been listening to testimonies from adult volunteers who have said yes to investing in the next generation, as you've heard stories of new believers who are following Jesus obediently in baptism, and as you've just heard stories of those believers who want to continue to grow in their faith and follow Jesus and take ownership in the Great Commission, like what might the Lord be doing in your own heart as you heard those stories? I know that the church is diverse. The Lord gives us different passions. He gives us different talents and gifts, and he leads us to different kinds of ministries. But perhaps there are some of you in this morning that the Lord is calling out to invest in this particular ministry, to give your life, to give your time, talent, and treasure to middle and high school students. And if the Lord is leading you in this way, what I want to do is ask if you would take a step of faith this morning. Perhaps when you came in, you grabbed a copy of The Loop. And if you did, this card is inside of it. And if you'll turn it around, you'll see an orange space at the top just requesting some basic information. And then there's a box at the bottom. If the Lord is calling you, or if you think he might be calling you to invest in the next generation through Life Connection students, would you just fill out this part of the card and then in the box say, I want to serve in Life Connection students so that we can follow up with you and help you do that very thing. Or maybe you didn't grab this card, but if you look in the pew in front of you where the Bibles are, you may see one that looks like this. And if you do, and you turn it around, you also see contact info there. You also see Life Connection students with a little bubble. Will you just fill that card out, check it, and then in a moment when we have the giving time, there's going to be a basket that comes down your row. Just have one of those cards filled out and drop it in the basket. And then we will make sure to follow up with you at the beginning of the week and help you take whatever next step. And I think we can be very optimistic about what we as a church can do in our investment of the next generation. But I say that not because I think we're so capable or we're so cool or we're so smart or we're so well-resourced. Rather, that confidence comes because the one who says in this passage that he has all authority in heaven on earth has also promised us this. He says, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So now then, as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, as we take the broken bread and we drink the cup, let's remember Jesus. If you're new with us and you're not sure what this looks like, at the end of your pew, there should be a communion packet. And when you peel back the lid on the top, you'll get to the bread, which represents Christ's broken body for you on the cross. And when you eat the bread, you can peel back the next layer to get to the cup of juice. And when you drink it, we do this in remembrance of Jesus' shed blood on the cross, by which he instituted the new covenant. And so when we take and eat, when we drink the cup, we remember the one who not only died for our sins, but who is now with us through his Holy Spirit, empowering us to make disciples of the next generation until we see him face to face. So if you know, love, and follow Jesus, you're encouraged to worship now while I pray. Let's pray with me. Father, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you for what you've done. You've sent your one and only Son, Jesus. You've given him to us that by faith in his death and in his life, we may ourselves have eternal life in his name. We thank you that you're the kind of God who pursues us. We thank you that you pursue students, middle and high school students. We thank you that you call and empower caring, loving adults to invest in the next generation. And so we ask that you would help us to hear your voice clearly so that we would know how you would have us respond to your word in worship this morning. And as we remember Jesus' sacrifice, we pray and thank you in his name. Amen.